Yo, you ready? Let's do it.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Final Play podcast. This week, we had a bit of a break over the, I guess, the NBA sort of Christmas week. So we're wrapping 2 weeks into one for the NBA. Talk about all the Christmas games and a couple of other games, along with a couple of big news, the All-Star voting, and if we get time, maybe some trade deadline rumors.
Well, yeah, that was already a trade that sort of happened there last week, I guess, if we just want to touch on before we get into the Christmas game. So it was sort of, I think it's impactful for Utah that they ended up, I think Cleveland got severely ripped off shipping Jordan Clarkson off to the Jazz for Dante Exum and 2 second rounders.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, possibly. I don't know. Like, I mean, did you see the last game that Dante Exum played in where he got his career point?
Yeah, he got a career high. It was unbelievable. Like, yeah, well, that's me. Oh, it's, yeah, where did that come from? Yeah, 28 points.
So, I mean, isn't that why they drafted number 5? He always had that in his game.
No, he always has, but he hasn't been healthy. He's never, like that. Health has been his bloody ailment.
Yeah. You're right. I mean, Jordan Clarkson obviously is a lot more polished player, but look, if Dante keeps playing like this, then it's hard to say. But you know,
it will help both teams then, because he's been balling since he's gone to the Jazz.
Definitely. Yeah, Jordan Clarkson definitely has been balling since he's gone to the Jazz. But I guess I'm only thinking of an Australian sort of sense of here. It's sort of good for Dante Exum because it didn't look like he was going anywhere with the Utah Jazz.
He was going nowhere, unfortunately. Just like the intro song said, going nowhere.
Well, I might as well segue to the games now. So there was a lot of Christmas games. There was 5 games on Christmas, back to back to back to back to back. I'll just rattle through the scores, mate, as well. So Celtics and Raptors, 180-102 to the Celts. The 76ers beating the Bucks, 121-109. The Warriors.
That wasn't even as close as what that score said either.
No. The Warriors beating the Rockets, 116-104. Clippers beating the Lakers, 111-106. And the Pels getting over the Nuggets, 112-100.
I don't know what happened there.
Brandon Ingram went off.
Well, no, that's right. He had a career night. Yeah, he had seven from 9 triples. Like he was balling. And that was the other thing too. The Pels had 18 turnovers in that game, and on the road in Denver, which is a pretty hard place to go and play, and they still pull off the win. It was insane.
Yeah. I mean, is Brandon Ingram the most improved player this year? I mean, I think without a doubt he is. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen if he's going to. I mean, I'm not going to sort of touch on, their number one draft pick. We don't have to keep going on about him. But where does Brandon Ingram's figures drop when he sort of slots in, if he does this year, or does Brandon Ingram keep playing like that? Because he's up for a contract extension.
No, see, that's the thing. It'll be, I think, if and when Zion comes back this year, it'll be a matter of, he's not really going to initiate a lot of offense. Like, he's probably not going to have that. Now, Brandon Ingram is an isolation type player. Yeah. So I think his numbers may drop off a little bit, and I think everybody's numbers are probably going to drop off a little bit, but. When Zion comes back, they'll probably draw up a fair bit of stuff for him. But he'll get his points, sort of fast breaks, dunks, or sort of things like that. They won't really have to draw up too much for Zion, I don't think. And they probably do that next year. They'll probably just want him to get acquainted to running up and down the floor. And you know, just sort of doing all the preparation stuff for games, like that'll help him along the way. But I'd see Ingram's numbers drop, but I don't think too much.
Except for Jokic, he was probably the only, I guess, decent player that played for the Nuggets in that game. What's going on with Jamal Murray? Like 8 points in 28
he's
minutes.
He's got that. Yeah, I don't know. He's got that fat contract syndrome at the moment, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does have that fat contract syndrome.
Boy got paid in over the off season. It's just like, oh, sweet. I got my money now. I can slack. Not that he hasn't been slacking he's been off.
Slack.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a terrible game for him. On the other spectrum,
he's been inconsistent. Plus, Gary Harris hasn't played all season as well, and I think they're a really good sort of dynamic duo backcourt. You know, a young backcourt. So more of the load would have been shouldered by him and Jokic. And that's, I think, Jokic's numbers were down at the start of the season. So now that they're all starting to pick their numbers up, Michael Porter Jr. is starting to become a feature in that Denver lineup. And he's looking like he could put up some good numbers this year. So
on your spectrum of your team is where do you see Lonzo Ball going? I'm still not totally sold on him.
As long as he's, I don't want to sort of flap on about it too much. Like if he stays consistent, great. Yeah. You just want to see that consistency. He's been playing really well over the last fortnight. Over that Christmas sort of New Year's period that we've sort of had off. He's been playing really well. He's averaging over 20 points and 8 assists.
Yeah.
You know, just in that small period, you know, and then that's not to say that, you know, that he can't keep that up, but you just want to see consistency. And I think if he's happy and he's playing well, then that's only going to be good in the long run.
The clip, like you said, it probably wasn't, no one, well, I guess everyone, I didn't say everyone's seen this coming with the Clippers and the Lakers. It was, I mean, it was close. I don't think the score justified. It looked like Clippers to me had that control of that entire game, or Kawhi Leonard.
I think so.
I don't know. I'm still not totally look. You know, Lakers having a great season. They're 24-7 currently. I'm still not completely. I mean, they still got that 1-2 punch, which is ridiculous. You know, Davey's getting 24 points, James getting 23 points, Kuzma getting 25 off the bench. But after that, that's it. There is still nothing, just like the team is, unfortunately.
Well, it will come down to how they play in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. As much as I hate to devalue the regular season, like I still think the regular season is very important. Like we've said before, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have the ebbs and flows of a season, and I think that sort of builds character throughout a team, and that helps them come playoff time. It'll be interesting to sort of see and notice how well they play, and I think they'll be fine once the playoffs come around and the tempo of the game sort of slows up, because they've got LeBron there. You know, he knows how to control a game, especially, you know, whether it's high octane or whether they slow the pace right down. So I think they'll be fine. The scary sort of little stat that I'd heard about was that it's still 3-point shooting. It's spacing the floor. Mm-hmm. Like I'm pretty sure that LeBron James is the one that's hit the most threes for LA at this point in time, which you'd think somebody like Danny Green, or you'd think it would be up there. I get Kyle Kuzma missed a fair bit of that start of the season. So, you know, I would have thought that Kuzma's probably a bit more better 3-point shooter than LeBron. So that's a main concern, that he's the guy that's got the most 3-pointers on that team.
Well, and touching on Kuzma, like in that game, he is a better 3-point shooter. He got 4 out of 9, but I'm just hearing a lot of you said it perfectly. They're not getting much at the 3-point line. There is a bit of a lack of spacing. Why are they looking at listening to offers for Kyle Kuzma. I mean, this is only coming out the last few days, obviously, but yeah, why? They talked up like that he's untradeable before that whole massive.
Well, that's right.
Jorland's,
exactly. For the AD deal, he was absolutely untouchable.
That's the who most New Orleans
wanted. They didn't want a Brandon Ingram.
They probably could have kept. I guarantee if they. It's ridiculous that they trade him. But if we go back to that Davis trade, I reckon they could have kept one or two. They probably didn't need to give up much if they included Kuzma. It's not the point. The point is, why say he's untradeable and then listen to offers now? Because he played so good in that game. He was the highest point scorer in that game. He's still young. He's a power forward, so he's going to naturally play behind Davis. But surely he can start in that. I don't know if Davis likes playing center, but surely he can start in that
He doesn't like playing center. He didn't like playing center in New Orleans, and that's why one of the reasons why he loved DeMarcus Cousins coming there, because it's like, great, I don't have to play center. And he doesn't like playing center in L.A.
So, in other words, it's... If that's the case, then we'd be silly not to re-sign Davis. But in that case alone, there's no point Kuzma being but he's not benefiting being there at all. And the Lakers aren't really benefiting of having him. Which sounds terrible.
No, they are. At least then they've got somebody they can sort of semi-rely on.
Yeah.
When they sit Davis and or LeBron, if they want to sit him at the same time. Yeah. They can bring Kuzma on. They can trust him. He's a bona fide scorer. Like he'd be able to put up the numbers to keep them afloat while they give Davis and LeBron rest. So you know he's a go-to option. Whereas they don't without those two who is their go-to option?
Oh look, and I agree. Yeah, that's exactly right. If it's going to come down the last 2 minutes in a playoff game, you're right. There is no option, but I don't know. I mean, I feel like he's getting wasted on the bench. He's still putting up the minutes and the numbers. It's not.
He's getting minutes. I mean, if he's still getting starters minutes, if he's getting 30 to 35 minutes, then, you know, whoopee-doo. You don't get to hear, you don't get to hear your name get called out, you know, when they do their intros and everybody gets to do their fancy little handshakes. Like that's all I see it as. You're still getting the minutes and you're still putting up the production. Who gives a flying F if he's not starting?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah.
If it's for the greater good and, you know, a finals appearance or, you know, maybe a championship, then who cares?
How did the Warriors beat the Rockets?
The Warriors, the Rockets as a team, and it was at Houston, but they shot 37 for 100 as a team field goals. So
wasn't that the Chase Center? Wasn't that the Chase Center? I thought it was at the Golden State. Yeah, it was at Chase Center.
Okay, well, I thought it was in Houston. Anyway. Still, like you against a team like Golden State, you can't shoot 37% from the field. You just can't.
No. If anything, just going off that game alone, it's sort of they've got a lot better depth, but it's sort of like the Lakers. You've got Westbrook, you've got Harden, who only want to hold the ball, and then what's it? That's it. I mean, don't get me wrong, everybody else, PJ Tucker.
Everybody else has got to stand around and wait for the ball, and you can see it's sort of, you know, that formula working in the regular season, but it just, when you play that kind of way, it can't work in the playoffs. It just can't.
I'm not discrediting how great Golden State played. Like, everybody on the starting five got double figures, which is awesome. David Lee, like, what? Yeah, I mean, no. I didn't think he had 22 points in him.
Another one of those guys that's just sort of come out of nowhere, really, for Golden State. Like, somebody's got to put up numbers. Like, you see some of the games, Glenn Robinson III, junior big dog. He puts up numbers. So it's
serious name. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, these are NBA players. Like, they're not exactly trash. So when given the opportunity, these guys, and you know, the Glenn, you know, just going on Glenn Robinson the third, he's got the pedigree.
Yeah, so to speak. Correct.
Yeah, no pun intended, but yeah, he's got the pedigree there. He can get buckets.
I'm just like the Lakers. Rockets for me are a little bit worrying that they just have those two.
They're the complete opposite. All they do is shoot threes.
I just hate looking at, like, when you see all the, you know, the post, the headlines and that. You know, yeah, Westbrook, Harden combined for 54 points for a Christmas Day loss. Who cares if they combine for that? That means no one else touched the ball on the side.
What was their efficiency? You know, Westbrook shot 11 for 32.
Yeah.
Like James
Harden shot 9 for 18. Yeah. And Westbrook, yeah, 0 for 8 at the three-point line. So, you're right. They're consistent.
That's been his Achilles heel for the last two seasons now. He just can't seem to be able to bury that three-pointer. I don't know what's happened to him.
You've got one of the best three-point shooters.
You used to have to at least respect it. Yeah. No, but you used to have to at least respect the teams that are just leaving him open.
But what you've got one of the best three-point shooters there that, I mean, surely you can get some tips off him. It's, you know, you've got one of the most polished three-point shooters. Well, theoretically, you've got one of the most polished three-point shooters, but...
he's one of them because he takes, you know, 400 of them per game.
Yeah, good point. You were right with the next game. The 76ers dominated the Bucks.
Oh, yes, it wasn't even close. It wasn't even as close as what the score suggested. They just beat down the Bucks.
Yep. Another sort of team where, which hasn't happened all season for the Philadelphia, but another team where everybody got double figures. Nearly everybody in the whole team got double figures, but definitely the starting five got double figures.
There was plenty of garbage time too, so you know, you can sort of, you know, if you're on the bench, you can sort of stat pad a little bit, and that's mean. Yeah, I think the Bucks would be very disappointed in how they performed on Christmas Eve, like especially Giannis. Like he was ordinary. He was 8 for 27. That's not going to happen.
That game, I was able to watch the entire game of that, and that game, he not only obviously you're right, like it was his shooting was terrible, but he was in foul trouble pretty quick. I think by the third quarter, he already had four fouls. So, he did foul out in that game, I believe. So, obviously, if he's gone, you know, all the numbers bring down. But
Middleton had an array. He had 31 in the game. So there's a lot of teams that are around at the moment that. Depth is definitely a question, and I think both of these teams are in that category.
Well, especially when they both, both the teams have the depth. And you know, if you look at just the look at the Bucks, you know, they've got Lopez on this. It's not too bad.
They've got a bit George more depth Hill. Than what Philadelphia does. I don't like Philadelphia's depth at all.
No, well after
they're much like Houston. I don't like their depth. In the slightest.
That stands out is Trey Burke and Scott. Other than that, I mean, except for that game, who I've never seen up until that game, Korkmaz? Forkan Korkmaz? Farquhar. Farquhar Korkmaz. That's terrible. I'm sure, we're not even close. But, yeah, 16 points. But you're right. After that, there is no depth on that team whatsoever.
People who you can trust.
Yeah. Yep. And then the final game was the Celtics, beating the Raptors 118 to 102, which is a good game. I mean, I still love that the Raptors are – you know, I haven't discredited them at all. They're 21-10, but I just thought they lost heaps when Kawhi left, but clearly not when you've got, you've got someone like Pascal Siakam, but he didn't play in that game, did he? I think he was out of that game, wasn't he?
I ended up missing that game. I was still at work.
So he was out of that game.
Jalen Brown was the one that put up the performance. He ended up putting up 30 points on 10 or 13 from the field. So.
And he said every time in his little post-game sort of speech, he said every time I go to Toronto, I always lose. This is my first win in Toronto in like about six or seven or five or six. Is it 3 years or 4 years? Or five or six games, he said.
It'd be four years. I think Jaylen Brown's been in the league now.
Yeah, so that's the first time he's ever won in Toronto. So,
wow.
Do you like the Boston Celtics?
I do. I think they should be, yeah, very heavily considered, you know, a heavyweight in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I can almost see. Well, it's, yeah, they were pretty disappointing last year. I think that sort of stung them a little bit. So I think they've got a bit of fire in the belly at the moment. So you could definitely see them making the Eastern Conference Finals.
The good thing I like about the East this year, over many years of the compared to the West, is that there's now, if you look at the West and the East, is now it used to be like a 1-2 in the East and then it was daylight.
Yeah.
I reckon there's 4 to 5 to 6 teams that really could, well, make the Eastern Conference Finals, just like the West. They haven't had that for years.
The West is well and truly opened up. I think it's still going to be. It's probably still going to be an all LA Western Conference Finals. But like I said, you know, in a seven game series, the best team wins.
Correct.
It's hard if you're not the most talented team or you know, in that sort of regard to get four wins. You know, you've generally, especially if you're the lower seed, it generally means you've got to get two on the road. And that's tough to do in a playoff environment.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a lot of teams. I mean, the figures are good, but a lot of teams are impressing me more in the East than I ever thought they would. You know, I guess because it is more spread out this year over many other years, and genuinely anybody can win. It's not like the Warriors, and then that's it. So, I feel like I'm watching more West games than I ever have, East games, I should say, than I ever have. It was never there and never exciting, but that was. I guess that was my sort of take on, I guess, the East.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, there's it's a nice sort of spread of talent, and you know, we're nearly into the third month of the season, so you know, teams are showing you who they are. You know, around this time, you know, obviously there's just some horrendous teams, especially in the East. You know, the Knicks and the Hawks are just the Knicks are playing better.
We'll talk about that game in a second. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, the Knicks are playing a little better.
Yeah.
The Hawks are still just horrendous.
They're too young, and that's
the thing. You know, we can sort of touch on if we want to go, you know, a little bit later into those trade deadline rumors and you know, Atlanta have got somebody in their sights. They're too young. It's too inexperienced. You know, no pun intended there for Trae Young. It's almost a Houston, you know, game plan from a couple of years ago. Like everything absolutely just goes through Trae Young.
Yeah.
Like it's just 3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3-3- any Atlanta games this year. They must just be horrendous to watch.
Yeah, well, except when Vince Carter gets on there. I still love seeing Vince Carter then. Oh, yeah, no, they are horrendous to watch.
It must be just shocking to watch.
Well, speaking of the Knicks, that game, just skipping through, I guess, through the rest of the games, that Clippers game, 135-132 over the Knicks. Yeah, yes, the Knicks lost. But, man, they drove the Clippers right to the end, especially Marcus Morris.
No, that's right, yeah. With no Kawhi,
yeah.
You know, obviously they're a little bit under strength. You know, the doing what they're doing best is a little bit of a hamstring niggle and a little bit of a knee niggle. Yeah, we better sit him out. But the Knicks, yeah, the Knicks started off a house of fire. I think they were up 41-29 after the first quarter.
Correct, yes.
That's what I said, yeah, and pushed them all away. And it took, you know, 98 points from Montrezl Harrell, PG-13, and Lou Williams. Like Montrezl Harrell had 34 points, and then 32 each for Lou and PG. And Marcus Morris had 38.
Yeah, Marcus Morris, we'll talk about trade people later, but that he's playing a lot better for a terrible team. He's playing great this year. You know, he's one of the many forwards that are playing great on that team.
Well,
hundreds of forwards they have on
that team. Yeah, just the 18th power forward that they've got sitting on the Knicks roster. So, Marcus Morris did his little backflip. His little backflip at the start of the year on San Antonio, and decided to I want to get me some numbers. I'm going to go play in New York.
Well, that's right. He is putting up numbers. Yeah, I just think he'll be a trade piece down and around close to that sort of trade deadline. I don't know if you want to touch on that now or a little bit later. We could probably touch on the All-Star voting, maybe.
Yeah, I guess the only sort of other thing, there's a couple of things that sort of popped up this week. I didn't really like what happened in the Celtics and Atlanta game. That was super close. Where Trae Young sort of dribbled around, got blocked right at the end, and then Marcus Smart ended up sort of getting the ball. Trae Young had sort of fallen down and he's tried to, Marcus Smart has tried to channel his inner Allen Iverson and tried to step over him and just flops down, you know, like a sack of potatoes. And it's just like, oh, well, did Trae Young sort of stick a foot up or something like that? And then you see the replay and he just flops down on him. It's just like, what? I like Marcus Smart as a player, and I think he could be a sneaky for most improved as well.
Yeah.
But that's not cool. That's just not cool. Like when there's 40 cameras in the arena.
Yeah.
They're going to capture what you've just done, and that just made him look like a tool.
Every time I see Marcus Smart when he plays, and like you said, he's a great player. He's a really good player. I feel like he's got a little bit of that Draymond Green in him.
He's got that. Oh, yeah. Most good defenders that are like that do. They've got a little bit of a-hole in them. But just the way he did it, and he just flopped down, and then he sort of gets up, sort of sticking his arms in the air going, oh, what did I do? And it's just like, dude, 37 cameras are pointing at you, and you do that sort of stupid crap. Like, it's just, it was just unwarranted in a game that they essentially won after Trae Young got blocked on the three-pointer.
It was just
unnecessary, and I don't like to be the old man sort of, you know, shaking your fist in the air, but it's unnecessary. It's just not called for.
Yeah, that I don't know who defended. I was gonna look it up. I don't know who defended Trae Young and that got that block, but man, he defended. Just watching that right at the end, he defended so well. He didn't fall for anything, and he had very long arms, but it was a great block right at the end there to deny Trae Young. It was such a good block. It was just the way he defended it. He didn't even have to jump that high because Trae Young's not that tall anyway. So
no, you're right.
Just trying
to see if I remember it. Is it Daniel Theis?
Yes. Yeah.
He's about. That's, I mean, he's 6'10". So
yeah.
Give Trae credit. trying to shoot over a 6'10" power forward. I thought that was a little ordinary. And what happened? So I think it might have even been on the same day. It might have been the next day that the Isaiah Thomas record getting ejected in 88 seconds for Washington. just trying to think who they were playing against. They were playing Portland. And he supposedly made an aggressive move.
It was ridiculous.
Towards the referee, which I don't know if you've sort of seen the clip or seen the game at all.
Yeah.
I don't know what the referee was on about. Unless it didn't look like he said anything. he was up against the referee. He didn't look like he sort of lunged out to push him. I don't get where this came from. I just don't get where the ejection came from.
I believe he got pushed into that. Like, in a way, he had two guys defending on him, and then it wasn't a big push, but he got hammered and he got pushed into the ref. Like, it's absolutely like, so if it's funny. So if you get pushed into a ref, that's a $25,000 fine, by the way, and an ejection.
Yeah, that's right, and a boot. He got fined $25,000.
So, but like if you get
chump change for an NBA player, but still.
But on the flip side, and you get pushed into someone sitting, like a crowd member sitting, like courtside, they're just as close as the referees, and nothing happens. So what the hell's the difference? And then it's not like he went up and pushed him and say, he fell into him.
See the supposed aggressive move towards the referee. Like he was dumbfounded by it and he couldn't believe it.
It was 88 seconds, wasn't it?
Yeah, 88 seconds.
88 seconds of the game. Wow. He was close to... I'm just reading like all the other close, the quick ejections. Dennis Rodman's headbutt's up there. Headbutt of the ref. Oh, Dennis Rodman, you got to love him.
How long was that?
That was 2 minutes 30 seconds, and then he takes his shirt off too. I love it.
Oh man, that's nothing. He's done that. He's done that plenty of times. He gets ejected and then walks off and throws his singlet into the crowd.
So moving on to the All-Star. Well,
yeah, never would have guessed that Dennis Rodman would have been high on that list. There, yeah, what a shocker that is.
The first round of the All-Star voting has come out.
Oh, my God.
A lot of no surprises. We'll start with a no surprise. In like, Luka's topping all counts by the looks of it at the moment. So he's we're not going to go through the figures, but basically he's the top guard in the West and then the top vote getter at the moment. Very
close between him and Giannis.
Yeah, probably about 600 votes. LeBron's... No, LeBron's top of the front court for the West, and Trae Young's top of the for the guards for the East. But there are some surprises in the top 10. if we scroll down, look, the front court for the West is pretty. Like, if you look at that top 10, the front court for the West is pretty straightforward.
But that's very. Oh, Dwight Howard at number 10.
Dwight Howard, but really. Okay. He has been playing good this year off the bench. I'm not saying he's a top 10 front court player for the West, but he has been playing good this year. Compared to someone that's in the guards of the West. No, but, I mean, we're talking then on the other side of the spectrum when the guards of the West, number 8 at the moment, is Alex Caruso.
Oh, for 92,000. Oh, my God. What's wrong with you people?
Above Devin Booker and above Ja Morant, so yeah, that's not the funny one, I guess, to me. The most surprising on the front court for the East at number 6 is Taco Fall.
There is just no chance in hell that he makes the All-Star team. Inner Vince McMahon, but there is just no chance in hell that he makes he's just not making the team.
No, there's no chance, because obviously there's not just for anyone that doesn't know, this is not just fan votes anymore. The coaches have a say, and also
The coaches have a say as well. Like the
writers and the
one that I'm a little surprised about is Bam Adebayo. I really would have thought that he's having the type of season where he'd have more than 104,000 votes. Like,
but above just him, there,
I was sort of stunned by that. You know, take out Taco Fall, but that's a mean. Like, it's just I totally voted for Bam Adebayo.
Yeah, but above Taco, you've got Giannis, Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Jimmy Butler, and Jason Tatum. I mean, this is fan voted, so it doesn't always. I think it's like it's not much percent anymore, is it? I think it's 25% now. The fan vote, is it? I believe.
I don't think it's a huge even percent. If it's 50-50.
On the guards of the East, a lot of it's pretty straightforward.
It's fairly close, too, you know. 400-odd thousand for Trey. That's in Kyrie Irving. It's just to sort of touch on that. Like, they're not sure what's going on. Like, he's hurt. Sort of reports have come out this week that he's still experiencing shoulder pain when he shoots. He's opted for surgery. I'm just thinking at this stage, like, if he's any better, I don't think he's got an option but to go on. I can't see any other option. I really can't. How many injections can you take on your shoulder? Like, that's not going to take its toll. That's too much. Like, those cortisone injections are apparently pretty brutal. Doesn't matter where you get them. You know, you hear of people getting them in between the joints of your, sort of like the knuckles of your toes. And when you get cortisone injections, you can't keep doing that for the rest of the season if you need to essentially drug up like that to get through games. It just can't happen.
My thing is, what's he trying to prove? Why not have the end of season surgery? You've got Kevin Durant coming back next year. Right. Spencer Dinwiddie's having a great season again. Exactly. There's no need. There is no need to...
Why stunt his numbers?
Yeah, why? Because he's having a great season. I'm a big fan of him. He can't stay on that side because he's not a bench player. He's a starting five player. Five player.
Also, it's Lou Williams, but he's happy coming off the bench.
Well, good point.
But, it's the same sort of thing. You know, if he's happy in that role when they come back, as long as he's getting starters minutes. But the problem will be, yes, he'll be getting starters minutes if he comes off the bench, but he sure as hell ain't going to be putting up the numbers like he's doing now.
No. Just before we finish on the All-Star votes, if I had a look at the top five that were on both sort of sides, they also look pretty straightforward. So if you have James, Davis, Kawhi, this is for the West, by the way, and Doncic and Harden, that's your starting five. And this is by the fans' votes, but to me, that pretty much looks like a starting five anyway.
That's if you go East versus West. So it'll be whatever, if they're going to do the same sort of stupid crap like they did last year, and yeah, go, oh, let's have team captains and let's pick. That's just dumb.
And you're right. Yeah, you're right. But on the other side, you see, this is why I love the East and the West at the moment. If it was going to be East versus West, Giannis, Joel, Pascal Siakam, Trae Young, we can rule out Kyrie and have Kemba Walker there.
That's competitive.
They're very competitive, both those. And like, I was just, the East would have something easily to prove to those other five. Easily. Because I kind of like the East side, like looking at that. You know, especially got Giannis on there and Joel. And then Pascal's putting up massive numbers as well. Trae Young doesn't do nothing but shoot threes and that. Just let Kemba take up the ball.
Oh, my God.
You think
he shoots a lot of threes in the regular season? Holy mackerel. He is going to be jacking those babies like there's no tomorrow.
Moving on to some other news. Sad news. Longtime NBA commissioner David Stern has passed away at the age of 77 years old. This was last Wednesday. Underwent emergency surgery after suffering a brain hemorrhage at New York, but unfortunately wasn't able to recover. What's on that? I mean, it's not like, I mean, David Stern, like, I know.
Oh, yeah, unbelievably sad news. You know, he's been the commissioner of the NBA as long as I can remember. And he was a very sort of, heard all the tributes and everything sort of pour through, by members of the media and everything, and how he was a very sort of take charge sort of guy. Didn't really worry about good press, bad press, just did what he thought was necessary for the league. Yeah, it took over in 1984. The league was nearly bankrupt. Like, the league was nearly done.
Correct.
In 1984 when he took over.
Yep. And he turned it into,
basically a global sport. It reached 200 countries that have more than 40 languages. But I think it's when he started implementing the all the professional stars, all the NBA stars, were able to participate in the Olympics. And that dream team come out.
Right, yeah.
Once that dream team come out on the international stage, that's when the NBA turned around.
Well, that's right.
You put those showpiece guys
on on the stage of 92 at Barcelona, and they had some pretty big names, that went there. So, a couple of them at the back end of their career, like Larry Bird, those sorts of players. But there was plenty of players that were at the peak of their powers as well. One Michael Jeffrey Jordan. So sort of put that out there, and they ended. I think they won every game by an average of like 46 points or something like that. So they're beat living piss out of everybody that they played, as they should have. But that sort of ushered in that professionalism era to the Olympics. I'm pretty sure that there was. I'm pretty sure I heard right and said there was only. I can't remember if they said 21 or 22 teams in the NBA when he took over. And when he gave it up in 2014, there was 30. So he, ushered in, eight essentially expansion teams come into the league. Yeah. So, 30 years in the top job.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's the only commissioner I can obviously ever remember. He was always there in the forefront. He wasn't a commissioner that took a back seat to too much.
The biggest thing, that I remember with him when Magic Johnson came out and he announced that he contracted HIV, and David Stern was the one that came out stood side by side, and obviously wanted to educate everybody, but. He had no qualms standing next to him. He hugged him every time, even though he was completely sweaty, because he let him. I think when he was about to retire, he let him play in the 1992 All Star Game because he was the leading vote getter.
That's right. Yeah. And
Stern embraced him at the end and said, I don't want to go into HIV and all that, but he said, he didn't have to do that. So which is I just thought
no, that's
thought
right. Like I said, he didn't have to do that at all. He always had the best interests of the league. There's a story that I heard that Stephen A. Smith told. I think it was on Golic and Wingo. I'm pretty sure it was the morning after his death, and he sort of said after the Malice in the Palace, he held a press conference afterwards, and essentially it was. What was the vote count for you? To warrant these extremely large suspensions for these players, and David Stern said 1-0, it was unanimous, 1-0, me, I'm the one,
right.
I'm the commissioner of the league, this is what I am implementing these suspensions and fines and everything to be, and that's it.
On the he didn't do many things wrong. I mean, and I'm sure Seattle Supersonics fans were probably happy, I guess, to see him take over the reins, not to see him pass away, of course. But I think he was crucial in Seattle moving to Oklahoma City. The only thing I never liked with him when he vetoed that Chris Paul trade. That's probably the only thing I never
liked. Boo-hoo.
No, I don't care.
You know who you can thank for basketball in Oklahoma City, and it's not David Stern. And I love the Seattle Supersonics back in the day. Like they were terrific.
Everybody
did. Who didn't? As a teenager watching Kemp and Peyton and Hersey Hawkins and Detlef Schrempf and those guys. You can thank for basketball in Oklahoma City. You can thank Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah, good point.
Because of that, the New Orleans Hornets had to uproot and go to OKC, and that fueled a fire that did not flame out when they went back to New Orleans after the arena, everything was built. or, you know, was rebuilt and the town was rebuilt. Yeah, you can thank Hurricane Katrina for that, because there was the same sort of thing. It's what happening with the Oakland Raiders as well. Seattle wanted a new arena. And basically, yeah, like I'm pretty sure it was like the city councils was like, well, we can't really afford that. And then it ended up sort of snowballing from there. And then it's like, right, well, we'll just take our license elsewhere.
Do you see a team ever going back to Seattle? There's not going to be 31 teams, obviously.
If you listen to the whiny, complainy pants people on the Pelicans Facebook page that I'm on, you can see they're just Mr. Complainy Pants on there all the time because we're having such a horrible season. But yeah, they're just like, oh, well, that's it. You know, in 4 years or 3 years, that's it. The Pelicans will be in Seattle and blah, blah, blah. It's just like, no, that's, for one, that's not going to happen. It's just, that's not going to happen.
No, that's definitely not going to happen.
It's not going to happen. You know, the league is committed to having a team in New Orleans. Otherwise, they would have ditched them, or they would have left them in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
After Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
You know, if things were going to die there, and even when the team went into administration, essentially, and the league was running them for a little while, and then you know, multi-bajillionaire Tom Benson comes along and says, well, you know, okay, I own the Saints. So, you know, under the table deal, and this will always be my conspiracy theory, little under the table deal, I'll buy the team, you know, you get me the number one pick, and voila, what happens in 2012, and you want someone to get number one pick, and they get Anthony Davis. What a little coincidence that was.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, okay. No, that's my theory, and I'm
really,
yeah, I'm not going to back down from it until I hear otherwise. I think that might have been a frozen ping pong ball.
Wow. Okay. I didn't expect to hear that. well, rest in peace, David Stern. That's not what I expected. Moving on, is there any we sort of touched on it earlier, but some we've got trade deadline rumors, but you did mention Andre sort of Drummond. Do you, he has got next year is a player option, so 28
he's
million? 28 million, which yeah. I mean, I could see him just opting out purely because he can get more money than 28 million with the money going around at the moment.
No, that's right, exactly. If Ryan Anderson can get 20 million and sit his ass on the bench and get splinters for several teams after he got that deal, after he left New Orleans and went to Houston and, you know, sort of bounced around a little bit, Phoenix, Miami, and now back in Houston again. If he can get 20, then Andre Drummond should be able to get a little bit more than 28.
But you said you were hearing, I mean, at the top of the list at the moment, it was Atlanta Hawks out of all teams.
I'm hearing the poo Atlanta Hawks. So it just, oh, man. Like, well, I don't see, to have a little bit of a veteran presence in the dressing room, that's good. But who are they giving up? Like, unless they're giving up, and well, Detroit will be trying pick. To, they'll be fishing. Detroit will be fishing for draft picks.
It'll have to be
Atlanta's draft picks are going to be very high.
It'd have to be at least a first-round draft pick. I don't know who else they're going to, but it'd have to be at least a first-round draft pick, among other things. I couldn't think of anything yeah, exactly. else that they could have.
Unless Vince Carter wants to go up and play in Detroit.
Well, speaking of Detroit, I think they're in a rebuild mode. I mean, it looks like Blake Griffin is considering undergoing another season-ending knee surgery, so if he goes plus Drummond goes, I reckon they're in rebuild mode.
Oh, then Detroit's all Derrick Roses.
Well, that's right. And a la rebuild mode. So
yeah, a la rebuild mode.
I think just with other sort of, well, there's no more rumors at the moment, but I think there's a couple of players. I'm not going to go through them too much now, but that could help sort of, I guess, contending teams. Number one to me would be Bogdan Bogdanovic and Marcus Morris, because I guess the way he's playing at the moment for the Knicks. But Bogdan has a
pretty tradable contract, and they do have Harrison Barnes at the Kings. So it's not like they're. I guess they need Bogdan. I just don't know where he would actually go.
No, that's it. And not to say that he doesn't fit in there at Sacramento, but they'd probably be in the same sort of boat. You know, they might be fishing. They could ship him off to a lottery team, and they could be fishing for draft picks as well to try and sort of rebuild, but capitalize on the young players that they've got there in Marvin Bagley, like you said, Harrison Barnes and De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. So, you know, they've got a pretty decent sort of young core. I think they're having a little bit of an underwhelming season this year, but you know, injuries haven't been very kind to them. You know, Marvin Bagley's out again. He's had a couple of different injuries this year. So that sort of sucks for them. You know, Buddy Hield's balling. I'd like to see him in the 3-point shootout this year at the All Star weekend.
Yeah, I believe he'll be
there. I would think he would be there. So yeah, that'd be kind of cool for Sacramento. Like you said, yeah, they've got Barnes there. They're probably lacking, you know, probably a little bit of size. And also, actually, I think Rashad Holmes went down today, pretty sure. So they're very thin up front at the moment. So that's not going to help them going forward in the short run. So, Sacramento could be one of those teams that are looking at shifting a player like that. And like you said, you know, the Knicks, they've got 8 power forwards on their roster. So, you know, why not try and trade one of them?
8 power forwards. Look, there's a few other players. There's probably won't go in 2 months and get, like you said, over before we sort of got on the pod, over the next couple of weeks, we'll probably hear a lot more of players, I guess, rumors and all that. Do you think just the only other team was the – do you think the Spurs, are they at the point where they blow up their team? And I'm talking a la LaMarcus Aldridge, which is only – he's only on a $24 million contract, and DeMar DeRozan's only on a $27 million contract, although it's a player option. So they're not ugly-looking contracts they're tradable contracts.
Depends on how they go in the next 3 weeks, I guess. If they sort of start to string together a little bit of a run and getting close and maybe get close to the playoffs, then
maybe they
don't make a move and wait until the end of the year or maybe next year to sort of do a little bit of a blow up. Who knows how long Pop's sort of going to hang around. Especially after the US team took 6 years off his life this summer. So,
yeah,
true. So I don't think that was the wisest move for Pop. But, it'll be fascinating to sort of watch how they go over the next 3 weeks before the trade deadline, before the All-Star break. And see how close they are to an 8 or possible 7 seed. So if they get close to those, then I think they'll sort of keep that team together for a little bit. They might try and maybe do the same thing. Maybe like they've done in previous years. Maybe either trade a draft pick or I don't know who they can bring in. You know, Rudy Gay might be a person they might look to sort of offload to try and get maybe a younger piece to try and contribute a bit more.
I just think I just with the West, I think it's too. They are sitting 8, so you're right. They may just hold off, but I think the West is sort of too top heavy because the bottom two
seeds in the West and I think in the East as well are both under 500. So
yeah,
that's really not saying much, you know. If you're going to get the 7th or 8th seed, and then you're either going to have to play, you know, one of the LA teams or Houston or maybe Denver or something like that, you're just gonna get pumped. So what's the point of making the playoffs? Like, you may as well sort of sag out of there, get into the lottery and try your luck there.
Yeah, I was thinking more on the flip side of I don't know if they trade to sort of this is the Spurs if they trade to lock in, I guess, that A position. I don't know if they're at that time now that if they aren't gonna, you know, it doesn't look like they'll make the eight, which they are eight, so it doesn't look like they'll make the eight, but if they actually blow up that team, I don't know. Because
that could be an off season new king of the team, so
yeah. New king of the team. Yeah, I love that word. Yeah, let's nuke the team. That's my favorite word.
Let's just nuke the league.
Let's nuke the league. Any other sort of bits we want to touch on before we finish up? Aline?
like you said, you know, AD's performance against the Pels, you know, he's got a bit of vendetta against them. He put 41 up on them in New Orleans and then 46 and 13 against them in LA this week. So, you know, good on him. He's putting up the numbers. He's definitely a top five front runner for the MVP race, and he's probably a top two or three guy in the race for Defensive Player of the Year. So, I'm just trying to think back, and I could probably use the help of Google, the last player that won MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. The only person I could think of is probably Hakeem Olajuwon. So that'd be interesting to sort of go back that far, and that's a pretty illustrious company if that rings true. In the same sense as Hakeem Olajuwon.
You're right. It is actually Hakeem Olajuwon.
It would have been 95. It would have been one of those seasons that they won the championship.
There's only four players that have won it, won it separately, but not in the same year. And those four players are David Robinson, Kevin Garnett, Michael Jordan, and Hakeem. But yeah, you're right.
Of course, Michael Jordan's in there. Defensive player of the year. You think of a bigger type dude, especially, you know, back in the 90s and maybe early 2000s, and then you just throw Michael Jordan in there.
Well, you know, he was always underrated, I thought, of his defense. No one ever talked about it.
I don't know about that. I think Jordan's got a couple of defensive player of the years, and he's always on the all defensive team. You know, he was a bit of a lockdown guy, like, and that was part of part of their luster as well. Was you had a lockdown guy in MJ, and then you had a lockdown guy in Scottie Pippen, and then when they brought in the Worm, you had a lockdown guy in Dennis Rodman. So you just to go up against those three guys, you're just like, oh my god, how are we gonna score?
Yeah, that's exactly right. MJ, just looking at Google, MJ was the only person ever to win Defensive Player of the Year and get the scoring title. he won every... Sorry, 1987-88, he won Defensive Player of the Year, the scoring title, the MVP, and the All-Star Game MVP in the 1987-88 year. Jesus Christ.
Pretty good year there for the greatest of all time.
But you're right, Hakeem was the last one. So
that's what I thought. It would have been either 94, one of their championship years. It would have been 94 or 95 that he would have done that. So to be if it comes, he's got more of it. Like AD's got more of a chance of winning Defensive Player of the Year than what he does MVP. Right. So it's just cool to sort of mention somebody in that regard, you know, that they're that high in, both those categories. So, it'll be, we'll see how it all pans out by the end of the year, I guess.
94, you're right. That was Hakeem's last year. He won the championship, the MVP, the finals MVP, the defensive player of the year as well. So all in that one year.
It's just a little thank you to Michael Jordan for going to baseball for a couple of years.
Yeah, this is true.
Well, that's in between the two Bulls three-peats, isn't it? Is a Houston Rockets double.
Wow. Speaking of that, before we finish up, there's a new it's not a 30 for 30. It's actually on ABC and ESPN. There's a new
10-episode series of The Last Dance coming out, which touched on the I think the last win of the three-peat, the last year of the three-peat, but
against Utah.
There's a YouTube video out of the trailer, and it's apparently Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls let cameras have full access for that entire year. So that's going to be a fun one to watch. I didn't realize.
Wow, for that 97-98 season, that's going to be very interesting. Because I think not to sort of go on about it again, but I think one Dennis Rodman had a very interesting year that year too. So I think it was a little
Scottie
bit of a
Pippen wanted to get traded.
Yeah, he ended up going as well.
Yep, that was
going to Portland. Scottie Pippen. Was it Portland or Houston first?
I thought it was Houston. Or was it Portland?
He was part of that Portland team that got screwed out of the finals against LA. I'm pretty sure that was 2000.
Mm. Yeah, no, you're right. It was a 97-98 championship season. So, and it's a 10-part documentary of everything that happened during that entire year. So that's going to be very good to watch.
Oh man, that's going to be a real interesting watch.
Well, that'll do it for the NBA podcast. Don't forget to follow us on all those socials out there: Facebook, Twitter, and SoundCloud.
It's me. Next week will be 3 months of the NBA season. So we're sort of getting right into the meat of things, so to speak. We're probably nearly halfway through the season, so we'll I guess we're getting closer to the trade deadline and All-Star weekend. So some interesting times ahead for the league, which is good.
Yeah, this is when it sort of starts hotting up with the rumors, and then the All-Star comes, and then it's contract extension. So
it's go time soon.
Definitely in the meat of the NBA season.
Love the meat of the NBA season.
Some serious meat. Have a good NBA week, everyone. My name's Jason.
Enjoy your NBA, everybody. My name's Miles, and we'll talk to you next week.
Peace.
See
Meaty
ya.
Peace. Meat.
Meat peace.